Good morning, St. Luke's. We have two youth group gatherings today. The children will meet for Godly Play at 9:15 over Zoom with Tabitha, and then our teens at 1:15 this afternoon will meet up with the teens at St. Martin's. Also, Tabitha is your point of contact there, so if you're interested in either one of those two groups, her contact information is in the bulletin and in the posting and, of course, in the directory. Coming up at the end of the month, we're going to start a discernment process. We hope everybody will be able to join us. So we will be meeting on Saturday, August 29th, and then again on September 5th. You can pick your favorite date. These meetings will take place over Zoom, which is an online video conferencing environment. We'll have times and a sign-up sheet that will go out in the email soon. Our hope is to talk about better ways we can support each other during this time when the church is closed physically but open online, and also looking forward to our future and to our new rector and to our search process and talking about that too. And we'd really like to get everybody's feedback, so I hope everybody's able to make one of those dates. I know that Zoom is not going to work for everybody, and that is absolutely okay. If you are interested, when the sign-up sheets go around, you will have the opportunity to also sign up for a phone meeting, and someone will call you for a discussion. We're going to see if we can maybe work out some conference calls or something so we can get more than one person on the line so that everybody can provide their feedback regardless of whether or not online communication is your cup of tea or not. So keep on the lookout for those. That's coming soon. And everybody have a wonderful Sunday. We have Father Steve with us again this week. So thank you to Father Steve Leonetti for providing us with a sermon and being with us. And everyone have a beautiful Sunday. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Grant us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish that, guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Please tell me, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and lay not our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt.
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in considering the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. And speak of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek his face. Remember the marvels he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, O children of Jacob, his chosen. Then he called for a famine in the land and destroyed the supply of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet in fetters. His neck they put in an iron collar. Until his prediction came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He set him as a master over his household, as a ruler over all his possessions, to instruct his princes according to his will, and to teach his elders wisdom. Hallelujah.
A reading from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes, considering the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends the reading. Thank you. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I was trapped. At least that was what it felt like. It was not like feeling trapped now by the COVID-19 pandemic. This was of my own making. I had just become a Christian, or at least had started to practice Christianity, over 40 years ago. I had become a Christian when I was 4 months old, when my parents had me baptized to satisfy my mother's parents. Neither of my sisters were baptized by my parents, though my youngest sister was baptized when she was 13 and continues to be a faithful Episcopalian to this day. A part of becoming a Christian, or at least practicing as a Christian, meant attending church. And being me, I could not just attend. I had to get involved. I became a lay reader and what was then called a chalice bearer. I volunteered to cook the breakfast that was served between the two services. I did this once a month. I was elected to the vestry. And Judy and I became the adult advisors to the junior high school youth group. Now, that would have been fine as far as it went, but I had just been promoted to senior budget analyst in the chief administrative office in the county of Los Angeles. This meant that I had to rack up lots of overtime twice a year, once in the spring when the budget was presented to the Board of Supervisors, and for a shorter time in the fall when the budget was adjusted to fit the revenue that was coming in. I tried to manage my church responsibilities around work, and I was mostly successful. But I also coached and refereed youth soccer. I coached a junior high school boys team, and Judy and I coached a young girls team. In the fall, I officiated at least 2 games, besides coaching 2 games. When I could not leave well enough alone, I was elected to the governing board of the local region where our teams competed and where I refereed, and somehow I came to the attention of the National American Youth Soccer Organization. I was asked to be an area director of the area, which included our region. There were 6 regions in that area, and nearly 15,000 children playing soccer every Saturday from the 1st of September to the end of January, with a break for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I was trapped. Something had to give. On a fall Sunday in 1977, I was assigned to be the lay reader and chalice bearer at the 8 o'clock service. I had to leave right after the service to go to work for the fall budget adjustments. I had to spend all day the day before on the soccer fields. That day I officiated in 3 games and coached 2. At least our teams won that week, or at least that's how I remember it. I got to church early so that I could pray. I really needed God's help if I was to continue, or God's advice of what to give up. I can remember framing it just about like that. And then I waited and waited and waited some more. I can still remember the answer just before I had to give up to get vested for the 8 o'clock service. You can have it all. Follow me and get ordained. Now, I waited another week before approaching our rector. I was not even sure what was involved in getting ordained. But when I approached him, his response was, "What took you so long?" Now, I'm not suggesting that the answer to feeling trapped is to be ordained. Far from it. What I am suggesting is that by offering the feeling of being trapped up to God in prayer, God will show you the way out. This morning's Old Testament lesson is from the beginning of the Joseph cycle of stories in the book of Genesis. Joseph is trapped by his brothers and sold into slavery into Egypt. His brothers clearly intend to do him harm, though they are finally dissuaded from killing Joseph. The point is that Joseph is trapped. his only way out, and the only way out for his brothers, is if Joseph remains true to God. This story and the ones which follow are usually read during Lent, where they provide the background for the Exodus. Joseph has to save his family from the famine to get them to Egypt. Then Moses has to lead them back to the land of Canaan when God liberates the Hebrews from the Egyptians. This is a long saga over two books of the Bible about how God liberates us from being trapped. We just have to have faith. The gospel lesson is also about being trapped. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men, besides women and children, and I suspect he is feeling a little hemmed in or trapped. Matthew writes, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus really needed some downtime to reconnect with God after dealing with the crowd and the demands of the disciples. The next part is one of my favorites. It might just as well have begun with the universally derided opening line, "It was a dark and stormy night." Instead, Matthew writes, "When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them." It was a dark and stormy night indeed, and I suspect that all of the disciples were feeling a bit trapped in the boat. Boats in the first century were not very big. One was excavated in 1986. It was 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and just over 4 feet high. Now add 12 fully grown men, and I guarantee it will feel a little crowded, even though the average adult male of the first century was about 5 feet 2 inches and weighed about 125 pounds. Even 12 of this size male is going to feel crowded and even trapped given the weather conditions. It was a dark and stormy night. No wonder Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He desperately wanted to get out of the crowded and battered boat. Of course, it did not go well for Peter. He lost his confidence and had to call for help, but it was right there when he needed it. And even if it did come with a rebuke, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" We live in a culture that does not believe in liberation or help in getting out of our own messes. The current idiom for this is, "You've made your own bed, now lie in it." It is the basis for our criminal justice system, holding wrongdoers accountable and responsible for their actions. There is little sympathy for people who find themselves the victims of circumstances beyond their control, home foreclosures, for example, or exorbitant education loans. They made their own beds. Let them lie in it. And frequently people look in the wrong places for help with the mess they are in. The payday loan industry banks on people coming to them for short-term usurious loans, which often get rolled over and over until there is no way out. Perhaps the most egregious dilemma in which the poor find themselves is court fines and fees. A simple traffic warrant can become the cause of jail time when the defendant cannot afford the fine, the court fees, the mounting interest, in some cases as usurious as payday loans. A little forgiveness can go a long way. I suspect many people are feeling trapped by the COVID-19 pandemic. Indeed, seeing the number of people on the beaches and parks over Memorial Day and Independence Day is an indication of how trapped many people feel. They want and need relief. But we in the church have failed them, not because we are not meeting face to face and providing a respite in worship, but by not proclaiming the good news and modeling prayer as a way out of being trapped and hemmed in. That's what Jesus did after feeding the 5,000 men besides women and children. That's what I did when I got overwhelmed with professional and volunteer responsibilities. God will show you the way out if you just take the time to listen after asking God for help and prayer. This is the way we can model a way out for our friends and neighbors. May God free you from whatever trap you find yourself in, even the COVID-19 pandemic. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, hear our prayers. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our family, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Finish.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.